I am Sid Garza Hillman, and this is what I think.
Look, I'm committed to being transparent. I have always been. So I'm going to admit that I'm sipping a blended. It's so hard. I almost can't even say it. A blended scotch. Oh, it has hurt my own feelings. You guys know that I am a single malt scotch guy through and through. This was a circumstantial mistake, intentional mistake. And I'm going to talk about mistakes in this episode. And I'm just going to be clear right now that I think the quality of an intentional mistake is a very different quality than one of an unintentional mistake. Both are mistakes, but when you mean to make a mistake, it can be more powerful, but it can also be more pathetic. In this case, the latter. I just got back from a trip to Lake Tahoe. My father turned 80. Last few years, my parents have rented a house in Tahoe anyway for the whole family to kind of go hang out together. But this was sort of a special version of this trip because he turned 80. He has the same birthday as my daughter, Luna, and so she turned 14. So it was really fun to do that. How does this relate to scotch? Well, I'll tell you how it relates to scotch, because I didn't have any scotch. And I went to the little local place there to get, I thought, yeah, I'm going to sit on the deck and have a sip of scotch. And they only had blended. I'm not knocking the market, the little teeny market in the little town of Homewood near Lake Tahoe. I'm just saying, you do what you got to do. Was it still a mistake? Yes. Should I maybe just not had any scotch that week rather than sacrifice going off a single malt? Probably. I'm not going to revisit that. That'll have to be therapy later on. It depends on how much damage was done also, frankly. Hey, so from the gut to the brain, what does that mean? Sid, are you going to talk about bacteria? Yeah, I'm going to talk about bacteria. I'm not talking about bacteria. Have good bacteria and feed it in your... Okay, I'm going to talk about it for a second. And this episode really had... Honestly, has nothing to do with bacteria. I'm just going to mention this, because this comes up a lot, and look, you know, it's all the hip thing now. Everyone's popping probiotics, and I'm not against probiotics. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is the analogy I've been using is you plant a seed, you want to grow something. So you plant a seed in the dirt, and if you walk away from that seed and don't feed it and water it, it will die. It will die. Got it? Okay. Likewise, the bacteria in our gut needs to eat something. The unfortunate thing is if you don't feed it, it'll actually cause real damage in your body and the lining of your intestine, the whole big thing. But that's the negative. And you know, I'm all about positive, right? I'm all about touchy-feely here. So I'm going to go touchy-feely. I'm going to say, feed that bacteria. Feed the good gut bacteria. You got to grow it. It's not enough to plant the seed and take a probiotic. You got to follow it up by saying, yo, plant the seed, but also I want to nurture it and grow it over time. Fiber. Okay? Fiber. That's what feeds the good gut bacteria. Fiber, O, and scotch. Did I mention that? Quote, you can quote me. Fiber, O, and scotch. Just end quote. If I had Twitter, I'm assuming that I'd see that tweeted. But I don't, because I don't like it. I'm not even going to get in there. And so, anyway, back from Tahoe, and I'm digging being home. I walk downstairs like a kid. I'm like a little kid. I walk downstairs. We were kind of putting things away, and I had to put some stuff downstairs, my camera, to be frank, in my studio. And I walked to my studio, and I was all excited to be back. I walked in. I was like, ah, that's a good sign, right? When you see your space that you do stuff in, work, and you're excited by it, it's very cool. It has not been that way forever with regard to the podcast. So now... it is, and that's very, very cool. So I hope you guys are doing great, and I hope you didn't miss me too much. I actually don't remember what the date was of my last podcast. I think I might have done it the day before I left on the trip. I don't remember, and frankly, I don't remember, and it's not important. It went out when it went out. All I know is that I post it, and I get some very nice emails. I also get people every single time unsubscribing from my list, so I think I'm doing something right. Woo! I do love the this day and age. I do love this day and age. Hey, you guys who are jumping on Patreon, they should have one that's called patronizing.com. That's when you just go on and just patronize people. But Patreon's great, and you guys are jumping on, and I really appreciate that. I'm not kidding. It's like a huge thing for me, and you're just, you know, busting. So thank you for that. And some more reviews came in too. Thank you. I will say this, and this is an odd request. I'm just going to throw it out there. And I told you guys I'm not asking for reviews, and I'm not asking for pitch. I'm just thanking you when it comes. I'm going to make an exception this week, and that is that all the reviews that have come in have been very positive, extremely nice. So if somebody could just put a really, really bad review on there, that would sort of even things out, just like scathing. If I were doing it, I can't review myself, I would make it personal, like about my looks or my lack of anything. The fact that I'm drinking blended scotch this week, that'd be good. That's a one, that deserves a one star, in my opinion. So just throw that on there when you have a chance. That would be awesome. I also want a special mention to a longtime podcast listener of the old show, this show, went through Small Steppers, the program. When I launched smallsteppers.com, she sent me a handwritten card. I know, with a dollar bill in it. And that was like the proverbial, you know, first dollar bill kind of thing that you tack on the wall, which I did. But this time a card, random card came in the mail, and there was a handwritten, I'm just totally still of the old school. It's great. And I just opened this card, it's handwritten, and she's saying congratulations for the new podcast. It was so sweet. $5 bill in there. You kidding me? $5 bill. So I tacked it on the wall. No, I did not tack it on the wall. I bought myself a coffee with it. What am I, a communist? I'm gonna spend the money on a coffee. It was phenomenal. I think she might have mentioned that it would be okay. I think she sanctioned that activity. But that's what I did with it. I bought myself a coffee. Yeah, man, dug it too. And it was one of those, yeah, it's a fancier one. It was a fancier coffee. This is a fancier podcast, so therefore I got that done. I'm talking about the gut to the brain today and not in the bacterial realm. I'll be clear about that. What I am talking about is, again, the theme of this new show. Bringing things into the thought realm. This is what fascinates me. Because here's what I'm gonna say, and this is me. I'm gonna just preface this by saying I'm completely naive here, but it seems to me that most people, when they apply a little bit of thought, when they have that chance, and again, my approach is about how to teach people how to find moments to think, because I think the answer is in that, and here's why. Because it's not like somebody is gonna say, or I'll put it this way, the chances are very low that if they think about racism, I'm naive this way, sure, but just humor me. It's not like somebody's going to say, you know what? Now that I've thought about it, now that I've really thought about it, I am still racist. Now I've really put some thought, objective, kind of calm contemplation, and it makes sense. It's justified. Yes. Now I understand. Yes, I'm racist, not because I was raised that way, or I have fear-based reactions that are seemingly illogical. I'm racist because I've actually done the thinking here. And man, it really is a good position. Okay, see where I'm going with this? I may be naive, but it seems to me that if somebody can get to a place where they are calm and objective enough to think through these kinds of things, homophobia, transphobia, racism, just in general sort of identity, like you're part of this group and you suck because you're part of it. If we apply 5 more minutes, then what we do is we take that gut existence, that kind of fear-based, that kind of, what do we see first? Well, we see the color of someone's skin, because that's the thing. We see that they're a woman who's trying to be a man or vice versa. We see somebody who is with another person of the same sex. Holy crap. And we sort of just jump on the gut. That's gut. Okay. When we take a few minutes and we kind of are treated kindly in some fashion, and so that helps us get to a place where we're not just pissed all the time, and we can actually expend a little bit of time thinking about something, we move that reality from our guts up to our brains, and then thinking. And the thing about it is, we have to understand that censorship and shutting people down, it keeps things in the gut. It reinforces the gut position. It reinforces the gut position. When you have preconceived notions about people that are not justified and you haven't done the thinking of it, and you just shut that person down because you know what they already stand for, and therefore I'm not even going to hear you. it keeps your positions in the gut, and then it hardens them because they're like, see, this is what happened. They told me to shut up, and they're stupid, because it just is. That's the snowball effect. Okay. I want you to understand this. In the physical realm, people can hurt you. You can be physically hurt. You have no say in it. It's a reaction in your body of nerves, and somebody smacks you or something. Or sticks a pin in your arm. I'll tell you just a real story that just happened. Oh, I don't know. Let's see. 15, 20 minutes ago, I was walking down the hallway. My daughter's cleaning her room. She's got some paper on the hallway. It's fine. She's working on it. I walk on top of the paper to get to my room. Under the paper are a set of earrings. Can I stress this enough? Under the paper. I don't see it. I walk on top of the paper. It's just like crepe paper. It's like throwaway paper. And I walk on top of it, stab my foot with an earring, with a set of earrings. Not even one earring. That hurt. It wasn't like I can say, I'm going to choose to be hurt by this or not choose to be hurt like this. In the physical realm, you can be hurt. There's no doubt about it. In the mental realm, it gets a little more complicated, because being offended is you. That is you. You are being offended. You have to really look at it. It doesn't mean, well, I'll get to that in a second. When somebody says something and you say, I am offended, understand that the language that you're saying is, I am offended, is actually true. I am is a state of being offended. It is not mostly correct most of the time to say, you offended me. You can say, you hurt me physically, because that makes sense. But when you say, you offended me, it has to do with context. It has to do with your history. It has to do with how they said it. It has to do with how you interpreted what they said. Because if they said it in a very dry, comedic way, you take offense to it, and they could be like, oh my gosh, I absolutely did not. That was a joke. I didn't mean, and they could mean that, or they could say it's a joke, but they really weren't joke. It's complicated, right? Okay. Here's where it gets even more complicated, because we're in this day and age where I want two things. I want people to freaking get strong so that they're not as easily offended, so they can just stop being triggered so fast. But I don't stop there. And this is where I see a lot of this thing of like, well, you got triggered. So you got triggered. Yeah, not my fault. I just said it. You got triggered. I think that people should be held accountable for the things that they say. To be sure, I think there's a level of consideration and respect that can exist in the public sphere that is more helpful than hurtful. I think we're getting away on technicalities. We're like, technically, you're the one that was offended by what I said. That's technically true. But then if you stop there, it means, so screw it. I can just say whatever I want. And you can. Technically, you can. It doesn't mean, though, that when you say things that you intend to be hurtful, that you're not a douche. I'm just being clear that when you say, that's not my problem, what I say, you take it or not, it doesn't mean that you're less of a douche for saying it. Can I make that statement? And I don't even like to insult douche, because that's not objectively bad or good like blended scotch. I have to say this blended scotch, I have to admit, you guys, is this, and I know Patreon is going to, you guys are going to get off Patreon for me saying this, blended scotch, this one's good. It's Dewar's White. Dewar's White blend. I just got off the shelf. It was what it was. It was what I could afford. Those two things. And Dewar's White. And I'm like, God, not. In fact, I could have a sip blind taste test of this, and I would think it was a pretty good scotch. Isn't that crazy? I know. There it is. So, look. For us living in the world, I don't think other people should hold us accountable so much as we should hold ourselves accountable for the things we say, to pay attention, that our words do have an effect. And at the same time, we need to understand that when how we respond to someone else's words can amplify the importance of that person's words. When we react and we get triggered, and it's like, and if this person's like an insecure jerk, you're just feeding right into what they are hoping, which is for the attention of being, you know, that 8-year-old kid who does something naughty because they want that attention. You're going to feed right into that. They're going to, on some level, go, see, totally worked the way that I wanted it to work. I said something offensive. and somebody was offended by it. It worked. Nobody wins in that situation. You ignore it. You just go, whatever, man. God, that's sorry for you. And you move on. All of a sudden, their words are deflated. They're deflated. Your response is your deal every time. Again, I'll say it again. It doesn't mean that people should not be held accountable, because there's a level, I believe, of common decency. There's a level that I would say is somewhat objective, where we kind of in a general way realize there's just things that are just don't go there kind of things. I just think that's gotten off the rails a little bit. And now we're just like, okay. How does this all play into my overall message? How does this play into my overall passion and approach of health and happiness? Here's how. Because I think we actually have a responsibility to take care of ourselves. We have a responsibility to take care of ourselves, because what we do affects people. And when we feel crappy and when we are abusing ourselves, we are abused. And when we are abused, we are not full of joy and kindness and compassion. That's the world for many people. We have if we want our species to continue, and even more importantly, we want the earth to continue, and we want to bring as much joy, because why wouldn't we? I mean, the thing is, we can cause damage. Fine, let's just cause damage. Just put the whole thing in the tank. It's like going to a job, and you can do a bad job. You can do a bad job. Go do a bad job. But why? I never understand this kind of thing of going to a job and not trying to at least do a good job. Not for anybody else, but yourself. I don't not understand the lack of work ethic, and this could just be my age, but I can't. I'm looking at you. I'm going, go to work, and wouldn't you want to fill the time with something creative and something that is going to make you feel good at the end of the day? That, you know, I did a good, regardless of like what the effect was, like I know that I did. I think we don't value the, but I know, part of the position, part of the reality. We know. Could I cheat and get away with it? Could I do some things that are cheating and get away with it? Yes, but I would know. To affect our own lives in a positive way, and that of our children and families and everybody else I talk about that we affect, we have to start valuing what I think really is valuable, which is, it's what you know, not what people know that you did or didn't do. It's what do you know? Because if we sort of got this like, yeah, I got away with this and I got away with that, but you know, and that takes you down. Everything that you do that is against what you stand for, even if you get away with it, you just don't get away with it. You don't get away with it. If you look in the world, most times, people who are kind of that way, doing things that are shady, straight up illegal, but in the very least immoral, even if they're getting away with it, they're not winning the game. They know. And that's and then on top of that, what they know affects what they further do. If they're ashamed and guilty on some level, that's what is coming out of their mouths in some fashion, and that's what's coming out in their relationships, that whole thing. It's what you know. Do you know? Do you know? No matter what somebody says about how healthy you are, how great you look, and you don't think you look good, and you know that you're not taking care of yourself, you know it doesn't. Nobody can affect that change in you, only you can. You're going to know the difference. And I think we need to start getting stronger in admitting this stuff about ourselves so we stop freaking lying. But here's the thing. I'm looking out into the world and I'm saying, I just got interviewed by this really nice guy. He's a Norwegian. Apparently there's a whole other country called Norway. Have you guys? Is this like changing? Because what happened? All of a sudden there's like a country called Norway. I'm assuming newer than the United States. It's crazy. All just so many changes. And they speak Norwegian, which is very odd. Anyway, I got an email out of the blue a couple weeks ago from a guy named Marius, who has a podcast, and he said he's coming through. He's Norwegian. He's on a road trip with his family, and he wanted to interview me, so I said, come by the house. And so we sat in my fancy studio, not fancy, but in my mind fancy. I see this as fancy. I see it as gold-plated, but it's not. And we had such a great conversation. He's a photographer also, so I'll post that when that happens, but a really, really nice guy. And he was asking me about this because he's listened to the new show and he's been listening to the Approaching the Natural one a long time too. So he really had a good sense of kind of where I'm at, and we had a very good conversation. It was very fun to hang out with him. And he's Norwegian. We ate lutefisk the whole time. Mm. Okay, so back to this whole thing. We have a responsibility. If we give a crap about the direction of the world, if we don't give a crap about the direction of the world, then you don't, you're not going to listen to this podcast, first of all, so on you. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Eat some fruits and veggies. And by the way, I can add some frickin', I can add the word frickin' to every one of these things that I'm going to list here. Eat fruits and vegetables. Calm your brain down and, oh, I don't know, eat in a way and drink in a way that clears your head. Sometimes that brings you to a clear head. Good. When you can, think through your positions. Question your own positions. Even if for a minute and go, yeah, no, still me. Move your positions and your opinions from your gut to your head over time. That's it. Over time, not today. You don't have to have an existential breakdown and bring everything into question. You got to go to work tomorrow. Okay, you got to go to work. I'm just saying, eat some freaking fruits and veggies. Throw in some whole grains and beans, little nuts and seeds on that. But good basis of fruits and vegetables. Clear, hydrate yourself. Okay? You think that's crazy? Do you think that it's not crazy? This is a hashtag angry nutritionist. Okay? Hashtag, I'm an angry nutritionist now. Hashtag. Put that in Twitter. I won't read it, but put it in Twitter. Angry nutritionist. Okay? Eat some freaking fruits and veggies before you come out into the public sphere and just start guns a-blazing, saying some crazy shit because you can't think through your own positions. We can't afford it. I don't need you to agree with me. I need you to be well thought, and I need me to be well thought. That's what I need. Me and you. Both of us in it together. We can disagree, but man, when I see a good, thoughtful debate where people disagree, I freaking love it because it's perspective changing and it's growth and everything else. When I see two people just not listening, just waiting for the other person to stop making sound out of their mouth before this person can say what they want to say, and then when they say it, the other person's just waiting for them to finish making sounds out of their mouths. Calm your brain down. Do what it takes. Do what it takes to be clear-headed so that you can actually apply thought to your life. For crying out loud, this is a responsibility. We are far, far past this point of just sort of, yeah, whatever, man. No, this is boots on the ground. Got it? What I've been saying in this podcast is this is a fight. But I want to be clear. The assumption is this is a fight between two people. Trust me when I tell you, this is a fight between us and us. This is a fight between you and you, and a fight between me and me. And this is the fight. The fight is, who is going to win? The person who is gut-based or the person who is more brain... And not, look, it's not 100%. There's going to be gut... Okay, so I'm going to put it this way. Who's going to win? The person who is more gut-based or the person who is more brain-based? I already know the answer. Do you want to know the answer? The more person who is more brain-based. Was that a shocker? Was that a shocker? Should I know? I should probably not have given. We can't afford to be weak. We cannot afford any longer to be weak. Our children cannot afford to be weak. Okay? Now I want to be clear about this. It doesn't mean being mean. Okay? Being strong doesn't mean being mean. It's not that I'm saying we all got to get it and get in everybody's faces. No. This calm, less reactive state. Now, again, like with my last show, I ain't sitting here up on a freaking pedestal saying, be like me and look at what I'm doing. I am in this fight so hard, I can't even tell you. I am like looking for stuff that will help me be strong and calm and less reactive. That is my bag. And that goes for the way that I eat, the way I move my body, the way I deep breathe and or meditate, and the way that I create and play music and the things that give me joy so that I can be more clear-headed and more calm with my family and me and my friends and everybody else. I cannot, and this is how I see it now. This is no longer just like, yeah, that'd be pretty great. I'm like, we can't afford this. We as a species cannot afford it. Sorry, that ship has left the frickin' harbor. It's left the harbor. It doesn't mean being mean. It's the opposite of that. I mean, I'm also mean, but that's separate. I want to be strong, but then if I'm mean, it's a separate value for me, but that's for me. Don't be mean. Unless you value it. I'm just saying it's not part of the picture. It's not the responsibility. When I say the world can't afford to be weak, I mean it, man. I am not joking anymore. We cannot afford to be weak. Weakness is the very thing that you are seeing the implications of in today's day and age. lack of courage to make actual change, lack of courage to actually stand up for what is right and that you know is right, even if it's different from what I think. If it's well thought, stand up for it. Stand frickin' up for it. Lack of courage to take people on when you know that it's not right what's happening and you still don't have the courage to stand up for whatever reason. And I don't care about the reason. I don't care about the reason. What I do care is that we have a responsibility to get more courage in our lives, to tap, well, I'll always say, we already have it, to tap into it, to tap, grab it out, take it out of hiding, deal with it. Dig, hashtag angry nutritionist. I'm going to finish up with this. Is this a shorty? Yeah, I just got back from Tahoe. I'm suntan. What, do you want me to freaking stand here for an hour and a half? And I got interviewed for an hour and a half by a Norwegian. That takes it out of you. I don't have the energy for it. I got to eat more fruits and veggies just to sustain being awake for the next hour and a half. What you don't know is when you're interviewed by somebody from another country, you're immediately on their time zone. So it was like during the hour and a half, it was like 3 a.m. I mean, I had to pee and sleep and wake up with insomnia all within that hour and a half. And then he left. And then now I'm here. I'm left with my blended scotch. It's been a bad day. It's been a bad, bad day. I'm going to finish by this. I realized I was talking to Lisa on the road when we were on our trip. And I've just been thinking about this recently, just as a father. So I'm going to delve into the parenting thing, but then I'm going to wrap it around, because anybody who goes, I'm not a parent, so I'm going to hit off. They probably already have already, but just shut your pie hole for a second. Okay. One of my very real goals, and this is not a joke, is to raise my children to be strong enough to, wait for it, to let me know when I'm being a pain in their ass, to let me know when I cross the line, to let me know when I am offering opinions they don't want or haven't asked for. In the very real, actual sense of me talking about this was when Lisa and I were talking about how when our kids have grandkids, if they do, no pressure. I'm just saying, I hope they do. I hope they do. Okay. And we're like, man, we're going to be around. Like my kids are going to have to go, hey, dad, go home. Like, go home. Go home. You have been here too long. You can no longer sleep in our front lawn. That's not okay. And so in all seriousness though, you know, I was talking to Lisa, like, and I told Luna, like, if we're being too clingy, like, I need you to be, because I want to be in her life and Lisa wants to be in her life and our twins too forever. And so if we're getting to a point where we're doing things that are leading them to go like, screw this forever, I need them to be strong enough to say, you cross the line, or, hey, I need some space. But here's the hitch. I need to raise myself to be able to take it when it comes. I need to raise myself to be strong enough to, when my children say that to me, that I listen and I don't act like a child in my response, that I go, got it. And for the overall good of my own relationship with you and my own health and happiness, understood loud and clear, behavior change in the process. How quickly we do not change our behavior when we are confronted, how quickly we dig our heels in. And sometimes at the expense of our own health and happiness. In fact, I would say mostly at the response of our health and happiness. One of the hardest things for me to swallow these days is this reality that I am making mistakes as a parent. I am making mistakes as a parent right now, and I don't know what they are. This is very hard for me to process, you guys. My own personality is like, I like to see the things. I like to know kind of what I'm dealing with. And I conceptually understand that I am making mistakes. Here's the deal. This is how I'm going to wrap it back around to us. We are making mistakes, most likely, at least not every, maybe not every day, but often in our own lives, with our own lives, making decisions that seem right in the moment, that we know that we will eventually know are mistakes for us. That is very hard. And what we can do is dwell on that. And this, I can say, oh my gosh, I'm making mistakes right now. I have got to figure out what they are. I've got to think about this and really try to consider this. And guess what happens? Anxiety goes up, fear goes up. And also, I can't answer that question. So I can sit there and dwell on the fact that mistakes are being made, or I can constantly come back to the very, 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 very basic values for me as a human being and say, I'm not going to be perfect here. I'm going to make mistakes, but I can dwell on that and fully fail. Or I can dwell on my values and my goals as a human being and succeed more than fail. And that's maybe the best we got, you guys. That may be the best we got for ourselves. And that goes, by the way, not just with kids. It's how we, in anybody that we come in contact with, and also how we manage our own lives too, understanding we're making mistakes possibly in our own lives. And I see the only solution as us simply applying more thought to our own values and standards and saying, I can't manage the mistake realm. I can't manage because, again, I started this episode off by talking about intentional versus unintentional mistakes in the context of Scotch, which is the only relevant discussion. But in all seriousness, this is where it is. I mean, I don't want to make intentional mistakes, but the fact is, if I get wrapped up in mistakes in general, I'm going to be so wrapped up in that and so hell-bent on trying to minimize mistakes that there will be more mistakes made. Sorry, but that is. In a management perspective, it's like standing over someone's shoulder to just micromanage them and make sure they don't make many mistakes ever. Guess what? They're going to make more mistakes because you're freaking on top of them all the time. Well, that goes for us and us. Are we on top of ourselves all the time? Are we so hell-bent and so anxious and stressed about not making a single mistake that we end up making more mistakes as a result of it? Sorry, but that's how it goes. That's how it goes. If we back off ourselves and back off the people in our lives, and we define and focus on our own lives and how we want to live, we succeed. Dig? Okay. Well. All right then.
I laid you down. Then I washed you down. And I set aside a silent cry. Sprinkle the rain in the faint darkness ahead. Faint darkness ahead. Thank you. I drop my hands. I dropped everything. Kept circling around you. Kept kneeling beside. Sprinkle the rain, a faint darkness ahead. This I can't chase from my head. The wish for the sunlight. We're still crawling away. The moonlight, it will shine. It will shine. Forgot the sound, the sound, the sunlight.